The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to.
Answering questions only Doug can ask.
On KSL News Radio.
I really appreciate Michael Weinholz joining us here in studio, and he is the Democratic candidate for governor. And obviously in the future, as soon as primaries are through, we'll be working on putting together debates and so on. But Mike, I really do appreciate you joining us today. I kind of posed a little bit of a question informally before we took the break, and I've heard this very, very recently from Jim Matheson last time he ran in the 4th Congressional District. I've heard it from other Democrats that in this state, the reality is you have to get all the Democrats, or virtually all the Democrats, you have to really have a message for the independents, and you have to pick off some moderate Republicans, or you can't win. And for you, what is your message for independents, but perhaps even for moderate Republicans?
Well, I think one of the big things that all Utahns care about is accountability and transparency. And as I've traveled the state since beginning my campaign, talking to Utahns of all different political persuasions, one of the things that angers them the most is this lack of transparency that we currently have with our current government. And it's smaller and smaller groups of people. Power brokers up at the legislature are making decisions behind closed doors without transparency, and Utahns of all political stripes are angry about that. And so one of the reasons I got into the race again was to bring accountability to government and do it by giving people a voice, and so that our government officials are held accountable by people who will now have a voice. Right now, people don't speak up because they feel like their voice isn't going to be heard, or it's not going to matter. And unfortunately, they're right. So what my campaign is going to do is convince people that they will have a voice in a Weinholz administration, and I will be listening to them. It's what I built my business career on, and it's what I think I can bring to politics.
Governor Huntsman put together the Governor's Commission on Strengthening Utah's Democracy, and I was honored that he asked me to be on that. There were quite a few of us. We traveled from one end of the state to the other. We listened to what people had to say. And I think first and foremost, there was a concern about the campaign finance reform that people wanted. And they felt that the way things were, they wanted more transparency. They wanted accountability. And they would especially mention the legislature here locally. They also talked about other issues as well, easier to vote, easier to register, even same-day registry. And when I talked with Mark Thomas from the LG's office this morning, we talked about some of those things that are already in the works, and some have even been accomplished. But let's get back to campaign reform. And I have to give credit where credit's due. This was an editorial in the Tribune not long ago, and they talked about Anything Jones and Richie Rich. And they were talking about the fact that Governor Herbert is out there raising money, kind of what has been the traditional old-fashioned way in the state of Utah, and doing a little schmoozing and grooving out there, and you know, hope that some heavy hitters will step up. Big donations could be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, and even more. And they made the comparison, and the Richie Rich factor was Jonathan Johnson, who stepped up and had I think they described it, I believe this is close, or implied it, that there was a sugar daddy who basically was donating huge amounts of money. So we had Governor Herbert over here doing it the old-fashioned way, kind of one at a time, but big donations. We had the situation with Jonathan Johnson, where there was primarily, short of I think only $47,000, a big single-hitter donor. And then they mentioned you. I don't recall that you got a comic book name, did you? I can't remember.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
I felt a little left out there.
I know. We had Anything Jones and we had Richie Rich. And then they mentioned you, that you were in a position where you could self-fund. It's interesting. So we have gathering the big donations one at a time, having the one big heavy hitter that is backing you, and then somebody that can self-finance their campaign, writing a check of $1 million to him or, in your case, himself. Him or herself is what I was going to say. What's the better way? What should happen? I've heard that this is a particular area of interest for you.
Well, it is, because I believe the approach that the governor is taking is unethical and also just optically looks bad to everyday Utahns. It reinforces that opinion that insiders have an advantage, that big donors have an advantage. And even though the governor has said that there'll be no quid pro quo, what he's doing is he's selling access to the governor's office. You know, if I'll sit down and talk with you for 20 minutes if you write me a big check. I think it's one of the reasons that we need ethics reform and we need campaign finance reform. And I'm not saying that only the rich can run for office. Everyone should be able to run for office if he or she chooses so. But we should have tighter guidelines and tighter rules, and we can't have this appearance of pay to play. There are other ways to do fundraising. I personally, yes, I've been blessed to have a successful business career here in Utah, and I was able to seed my campaign and I'm able to self-fund. And I know that not everyone can do that. But one of the reasons I did it, and I announced recently also that I'm not going to be taking any corporate donations, and because it's because of that appearance of influence, even if you don't intend for there to be any. So I would prefer to have hundreds of thousands of donors giving $5 each, because even if you give just $5 or $1, you feel invested in that campaign then, and you feel more of a part of it, and you want it to succeed. And so other than the self-funding that I'm doing, that's going to be the kind of campaign donations that I'm pursuing. I've announced that I'm not taking corporate donations. And it's not just because I don't need them. It's because I think they're improper.
In just the moment, and boy, I've left you with little time to really deal with what I think is a compelling issue. What would be the ideal? You know, we hear about public funding of campaigns. So it's all even. Everybody gets X number of dollars. Go for it. See who wins. We've heard real tight restrictions or limits and so on. What is the ideal?
Well, I think the ideal is probably a combination of those things, having limits, having some government funding of campaigns. It's done elsewhere. And then it eliminates that, less than positive side of financing that can look shady, that can look like pay for play. And one of the things that I would do as governor would be to push for campaign finance reform and ethics reform as well.
We will have so many more conversations, but Mike, I really do appreciate you joining us here. There's so many things to get into. We'll look for debates. We'll look for opportunities to chat individually. And I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Next time we can get into some specifics maybe and, you know, talk a little bit more about the air quality, talk a little bit more about energy development, talk a little bit more about taxation. But I felt that there were some general issues today, and I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
Michael Weinholz with us here at KSL News Radio, where it is 11:30, and Daryl Brown now speaks for the KSL editorial board.
The Utah Zero Fatalities campaign, which for several years has seen significant declines in highway road deaths, is now in the midst of an unsettling trend in the opposite direction. The number of people killed in vehicle accidents has risen for the third straight year. 276 people died last year, the most in 7 years. While the reasons may be hard to pin down, the upswing demands attention and assessment by people who use the roads and those who enforce traffic laws. Some in law enforcement worry about the proliferation of cases involving distracted driving. Others wonder if an increase in marijuana use is a contributing factor. It makes sense that officials look more deeply into those suspicions. The numbers add up to a disturbing portrait of more dangerous roads, but the most poignant statistic is one that individual motorists must take to heart. 94% of all deaths are considered preventable and would have been avoided had drivers simply decided to behave responsibly while behind the wheel.